KCRW sponsors include Searchlight Pictures, presenting the new movie, The Greatest Hits. Music takes us places. What if it could literally take you back in time? The Greatest Hits is a hypnotic journey through the connection between love, music, and memory. Now streaming on Hulu.
From KCRW in Santa Monica, I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner, and this is The Business.
So you still want to do the show business, and you think that you got what it takes? I mean, you really got to rap and be all that. But prepare yourself for the breaks. Check it out.
Mad Men is a series on the cable network AMC set in the New York ad world of the 1960s. While the show showcases a variety of real-world products, not all of them pay for the privilege. This week on The Business, we'll talk about the slippery world of product placement with the show's creator, Matthew Weiner. But first, it's the Hollywood News Caravan. The show products pay not to be associated with. It's The Business from NPR. We start with good news for Disney. The Pooh has not hit the fan. At least, not yet. A California appeals court last week declined to revisit a seemingly endless legal battle against the Walt Disney Company, seeking billions of dollars in Winnie the Pooh royalties. Patty Schlesinger, whose dad represented Pooh creator A.A. Milne, will appeal to the state Supreme Court. She's not only seeking damages, but the return of licensing rights for the Rotund Bear. Sales of Pooh merchandise generated more than $6 billion in retail sales in 2005 alone. And that's a lot of honey. With the latest appellate ruling, Disney gets away clean, but has nothing to be proud of. The main reason a Los Angeles trial court dismissed the case in 2004 was because lawyers for the Schlesinger estate illegally obtained documents by dumpster diving on Disney property. Speaking of improperly gained evidence, last week a federal judge sentenced director John McTiernan, the director of Die Hard and the Thomas Crown Affair, to 4 months in prison and a $100,000 fine. McTiernan had pled guilty to perjuring himself to the FBI about why he'd hired disgraced Hollywood private eye Anthony Pelicano. He'd said he'd only hired the wiretapping gumshoe to spy on his ex-wife, but later admitted that he'd used Pelicano to bug a fellow producer as well. McTiernan is appealing, but not very. Elsewhere, Vivendi last week condemned its Universal Music Group contract with Apple's iTunes as indecent, citing an unfair split of revenue with Apple. iTunes controls most of the digital music market, and though Universal made roughly $200 million last year through the service, it joins a growing list of Hollywood companies no longer willing to assume the position when dealing with Steve Jobs. In July, Universal refused to renew a long-term agreement for selling music on iTunes, and instead supplies music to Apple at will. And 2 weeks ago, NBC Universal, not part of Vivendi, announced it would join Amazon's Unbox service for downloads of NBC TV shows like The Office and Heroes. Could this mean the end of the 99-cent song? Yes, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. For years, some in the music industry had griped that the price fixed by iTunes was too low. But now, rivals like Amazon have undersold them. Amazon's new MP3 service will sell songs from Universal for just 89 cents. But even at that low price, Amazon will be sharing more of that revenue with the record labels. Amazon has undercut Apple because it's fighting for its life. The wire service Bloomberg noted last week that Amazon's sales of DVDs, CDs, books, and other media accounted for 64% of the company's second quarter revenue, down 4% from a year earlier. When you consider that music downloads surged 60% last year, it becomes clear Amazon has to start making money in the digital realm. Finally, the war on indecency is progressing nicely, but it's far from won, my fellow Americans. We will see a whopping 7, count them, 7! Gay characters on the 5 broadcast networks this fall season. That's down from 9 last season, according to a study from the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. While gay roles are down for the 3rd year in a row, conservatives note with alarm that it's still practically one homosexual per broadcast network. There is only one new non-heterosexual regular character this coming season, Bonnie Somerville, starring on ABC's drama Kashmir Mafia, and, happily, she's bisexual. Because as you know, whether you're liberal or conservative, bisexual chicks are, by default, always hot. And that's the Hollywood News Caravan. Coming up next, the painstaking process of placing products in programs for pay. There There was a time not so long ago when advertisers could reach a huge number of Americans with a single spot on a popular primetime television show. Not anymore. There are so many entertainment options these days, people just aren't watching TV the way they used to. They're spread over something like 100 channels, and they're often watching using technology that makes skipping ads all too easy. So, advertisers resorted to product placement as one way to make sure their message still gets out there. Now, product integration, getting products inserted into the storyline itself, has taken placement one better. But it's just not that simple. Producers have to balance making money with alienating media-savvy viewers, and advertisers have to trust producers to show their products in a positive light. Meanwhile, writers and actors are worried about being turned into corporate shills and not getting paid for it. In fact, just last week, the Writers Guild petitioned the FCC to require networks to disclose when their shows are paid to feature brands. A fantastic laboratory for the study of all these issues is the AMC original television series, Mad Men. The show, appropriately enough, is set on Madison Avenue in the early 60s and centers on the talented but tormented ad man Don Draper, played by John Hamm.
Advertising is based on one thing. Happiness. And you know what happiness is? Happiness is the smell of a new car. It's freedom from fear. It's a billboard on the side of the road that screams with reassurance that whatever you're doing, it's okay.
A show about an ad agency certainly seems to present endless opportunities for product placement. The most obvious would seem to be a brand that's a client of Draper's shop. But so far, no advertiser has bought that slot, though Jack Daniels has paid for product placement within the show, as well as a lot of the commercials you'll see when you watch Mad Men. There are a number of other brands featured on the show, but don't be so sure they've paid for the privilege. Matthew Weiner is the creator of Mad Men. He previously won an Emmy for his work on The Sopranos. Matthew Weiner, welcome to the business.
Nice to be here.
Let's talk about how the Jack Daniels deal went down, because you create this show just to create the show. You're not sitting down with a whiteboard saying, which brand is going to integrate into my new...
But I was spoiled by being at The Sopranos, and I wanted to have – on network TV, you cannot say I went to Target. You have to say I went to the store. You cannot say give me a Coke. You have to say give me a cola. You cannot say the word dumpster because it is a patented name. And it's not that you have to pay these people. It's that perhaps if you mention give me a Coke and Pepsi wants to buy ads in the middle of your show, you're screwing the pooch. So if Pepsi-Cola wants to support your show, they do not want to hear someone asking for a Coke in the middle of the show. So that mindset was not part of The Sopranos because there was none of that. Now, I did not know there was product placement at The Sopranos. I found this out since then. I wrote this line. Tony was trying to impress his cousin and he said, I bought him a Motorola. It's the best. And everyone said, oh, the blatant product placement in the show. And I'm like, you know what? That was not product placement. I had a Motorola in my pocket. I'm lazy. I really just wanted to think of a name.
There's another scene in The Sopranos where Tony says to, I think it's Carmela, she's concerned that about the safety of this SUV that he has purchased for their son, AJ.
Right.
And he says, it's got airbags, it's got this, it's got that. And he goes, and then he sort of pauses and he says,
it's got sensors in the seatbelts. It's part of Nissan's triple safety philosophy.
Right. Now, that is not an advertisement. See, you're imitating human behavior. And advertising is very powerful. And if you listen to conversation, especially when people have bought something, when there's that moment before the remorse or whatever it is, they speak in these terms. And I can guarantee you that line in particular, none of this copy ever comes from companies, at least in The Sopranos. There is the apocryphal story about The Sopranos, and I say it's apocryphal not because it's not true. It's just because I've never had it confirmed. But I do know, for example, that I think that David's original intention was for Carmela to drive a Lexus. And I think Lexus said, they don't pay for these, but to see the product, you know, we ask them to provide a car sometimes or whatever. And they said, we hate the tone of the show and it's a repulsive. This is the first season. So she drove a Mercedes wagon. And I think that there was not a year that went by that there was not some kind of gift basket that came at the beginning of the year from Lexus saying, can someone drive a Lexus, you know?
Right.
The Jack Daniels thing actually had nothing to do with me. I wanted real brands in there. I said that Don Draper in the pilot drank Canadian whiskey. He drank rye. And Peggy says that's Canadian. And Joan says, you better find out. And when the guys are celebrating, I said, have him bring in a bottle of Canadian Club and slam it down on his desk. I'm not asking them to pay for it. I don't want to see all these phony like vodka and that kind of thing. And that's what it worked. And then
– I mean, that would ring particularly false in a show about advertising.
Yes,
brands.
Absolutely. The same thing with the cigarette packages. I mean, the Lucky Strike thing was really a legal entanglement because I'm not in the business of promoting cigarettes. And I also do not do advertising for Lucky Strike, but I wanted to use a real brand. We did come up with some fake names in case it didn't work out. But the truth is they're not allowed to advertise on TV. I never feature their product. I do not do damage to their trademark. And it's a satirical show.
Old gold man, huh? Lucky Strike here. Can I ask you a question? Why do you smoke old gold?
I don't know.
But what is it? I mean, Lothar, those new filters? Why old gold?
They gave them to us in the service. A carton a week for free.
So you're used to them, is that it?
Yeah. They're a habit.
So I could never get you to try another brand, say, my Luckies.
I love my old golds.
We're talking to Matt Weiner. He's the creator of Mad Men, the AMC show set in the go-go New York ad world of the early 60s. The program features a number of real products. Some have paid to be there, and some haven't. The obvious drawback for a writer is that if a company's paid to have a product be included in a show, then they have some say over how it's depicted. It's quite clear that although Lucky Strike and Old Gold are featured prominently in the storyline of one episode of Mad Men, their makers certainly didn't pay to have them there.
I just don't know what we have to do to make these government interlopers happy. They tell us to make a safer cigarette, we do it, and then suddenly... That's not good enough.
Might as well be living in Russia.
Damn straight.
Has Jack Daniels sort of given you notes or made requests of you?
What basically I was told was there would be two – I don't remember what the exact legal words are, but there was two passive and one active. So it needed to be in the show. Pictured someplace in a scene, and it needed to be asked for someplace. And they have this whole list of how it can be used. It
really?
Can't be. Oh yeah. I mean, they don't want it to see. You know, I was joking around. Well, maybe we'll have. I don't even know if I should say this, but I had a joke of a particularly profane use of it. I said, "Would they mind if it was being used to sterilize instruments in an underground abortion?"
So, are there lists of what you can have a character? Who's been drinking Jack Daniels do? I mean, are you enjoined from having somebody go out and beat up their wife or
– You know, they don't want to see people driving. They don't want to see people hitting each other. They don't want to see people fighting. They do not want to see people having sex immediately after drinking. And you're sort of like, well, what is the purpose of Jack Daniels if you cannot – if it's not – you know, if there's no sex after it and there's no fighting after it. And so the only time we had to use a fake brand of liquor deliberately – was in the episode Marriage of Figaro when Don is drinking and putting together the playhouse. They really didn't want to see him because he was going to be in the car later. They really did not want to see him drinking any name brand. The thing that I was saying what on some level is I always assumed that they would want it to be a product that the company was selling. And the way that we use advertising in the show, and I've invented these things, some of them are real. You know, Dr. Scholl's is real. Beaujolais is made up.
Beaujolais.
They make more colors of lipstick than Howard Johnson has ice cream flavors, but the sales are in the crapper.
Well, his names. Passionflower Peach.
You know, I thought, wouldn't it be amazing to have Maybelline or Revlon or one of these companies? But then you get into a very touchy area, which is creatively no one has dictated how I can deal with the commercial realities of the world.
So who keeps you honest, so to speak? I mean, is there anybody who's, you know...
No. I mean, the reason why I'm at AMC and working with Lionsgate is I have complete creative control. I mean, I have lawyers. I'm not one of those people who thinks that a lawsuit would be a wonderful thing for the show, that there's no such thing as bad publicity. If they tell me that that is too negative a portrayal of this product and we're going to get in trouble, I will listen to them. You know,
have they? And has anyone
no,
ever told them?
I mean, you know what has come up is that there's one change that I made is that the original name of the department store – her name was Rachel Magnin in the pilot. And I wanted to use Magnins. I grew up in Los Angeles and I knew this was an old department store chain. I knew that there was one in New York. And the idea was that if I was going to portray her as a real member of this family that actually owned this department store and wanted to do anything with her, show her drinking, show her having sex, show her any of these things that I was literally – I was in danger of, you know, of being libelous to someone's existence. The other names that I use, they say we find a, you know, Rachel Menken in Manhattan. And I said, you can find Rachel Menken in Manhattan. And the lawyers basically said, look, we agree with you. There's no way that this person is the same person because this show took place 50 years ago. And also there's been some rather I wouldn't say – there's been some rather landmark cases recently in terms of people controlling their image and their product that have sort of loosened things up a little bit in a more realistic way, because just having your name mentioned doesn't mean that there was damage done to you. Showing a product – we had a big thing with Rightguard. I used Rightguard without any permission from, you know, the company that owned it then. It was Gillette, and now it's Procter & Gamble.
Thanks to the Precision Valve Corporation, for the next 18 months, Gillette is the only company on Earth that can spray deodorant out of a can. Modern deodorant for a modern man.
And I had this moment where they were using it with a flame. Right?
Right.
And spraying it in people's eyes and
– don't try this at home, kids.
Right. And this wonderful lawyer that we have –
but it's great for torching insects. I can tell you that from being 12 years old. But go ahead.
Absolutely. It's second only to a magnifying glass. But the idea was that it's irresponsible. People imitate it. They said basically, you know, this is the way it works. This is the law. They're entitled to do this. It's satire. I'm doing something that's so historically distant. And it doesn't even matter that the great thing about the Rightguard thing is that I actually just pitched them. I said, what if they do it behind the glass? And it actually – because from my sitcom background, I knew it would be funnier anyway. So while the bosses are talking, you just see this flame erupt and say, hey, cut it out. And it's much funnier anyway. But that's where we get into it, is like the misuse of a product or – you know, I had Alka-Seltzer in the pilot put into a glass of liquor. And, you know, Alka-Seltzer said it was okay for us to use their product. They didn't pay us and they didn't send us Alka-Seltzer. And they just said, how was it used? I didn't even show them pages. I just told them what it was. That it would be in the show. And immediately someone said from Alka-Seltzer, I think it was someone from Alka-Seltzer, said that it was actually very common and it doesn't mean it's dangerous. And that's what people did. I use whatever I want to use. I really do. If it existed, I will use it. I would love to have the participation of people in it. I think people hate product placement. I find it to be an insulting thing to see advertising in the middle of the shows. I can see it. I can smell it. It makes me angry. But to do a show about an advertising agency without products, or to do a show that's about real life where you don't see the products, where people are pouring milk out of a plain wrap package, it's just – that's even more embarrassing. And so – the idea is we're creating a texture of real life. You sit here. You're wearing a watch. I can see it says Rolex on it. You're wearing this. I can see that. I can see your car says Buick. I can see all of these things. And I'm not paying anybody. I am just filling my show with the – and details are very important on this show – with all of the items that are from real life. Now, along those lines, if I have an idea for a story and I think, is there a way – for would they like to participate? Could they provide old artwork? Would they mind if I use their slogan? All these things really require you approaching these people. What I usually do is just do it, and I have nothing to do with them. We had nothing to do with Procter & Gamble. We had nothing to do with Gillette. We had nothing to do with Rightguard. Rightguard was historically the first aerosol product for men. It fit the theme of the show. And in words, if you're not showing pictures or anything like that, you can actually say whatever you want. You could actually say the guy came down from the Spacely Sprockets program and I saw him having sex with a horse in the lobby. And that could be – it could be a real product. You could say that if you wanted to. But once you're showing the product, then you get into different issues of trademark and things like that.
After a short break, we'll have more of our conversation with Matt Weiner. He's the Emmy Award-winning writer and producer who created the AMC show Mad Men. The show is set in the New York ad world of the early 1960s and features a number of real products. Some have paid to be there, and some haven't. You're listening to The Business from NPR. You're listening to The Business, and I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner. The AMC program Mad Men is set in the New York ad world of the early 60s. The show seems like the perfect place to make lots of money on product placement, and in fact, Jack Daniels, amongst others, paid to be included in the first season. But a number of actual brands featured in the show didn't pay to play.
I'm just saying we could be funny, like those Volkswagen people. You see this yet?
I have. I don't know what I hate about it the most, the ad or the car.
You know, they did one last year, same kind of smirk. Remember Think Small? It was a half-page ad and a full-page buy. You could barely see the product.
I don't get it. Elvis just got back from West Germany. Why not put him in it?
Matthew Weiner created Mad Men. How much of Mad Men's revenue comes from Jack Daniels? Like, could you have done the show without them the first season?
I don't know what their sponsorship of ads in the show is. I'm not involved in that. In terms of their contribution to my budget, I got nothing. I think that money went to AMC to help to recoup their losses or whatever they expend on the show. I am not aware of what those numbers are. I can tell you that it was very deep into the process before they came involved. We were already four or five episodes in. So I would say I don't know.
So the train, as Samuel Goldwyn used to say, had sailed.
The train had sailed, yes.
And then they came in. Okay.
Yes, the ship had left the station.
That's even better. New and improved.
Oh, thank you.
To use an advertising metaphor.
We would love to have more of that. I don't find it to be a compromise. There was nothing that I did, as long as I have the freedom to do what I want to do. And I said that. They warned me. They're like, don't worry. AMC warned me in a very, they actually comforted me and said, no one's going to be telling you what to do. These are easy to do. We wouldn't have agreed to it. And they have all these stipulations, but just tell us what you want to do and how you want to do. Let's get these out of the way. You have one left to do here, one left to do here. And for me, knowing that I could have Jack Daniels in the show in those, I'll tell you where it appears. It appears in the Beatnik Club on the top of the piano next to the girl who's saying the poem about Fidel Castro. And then they all scream, take off your shirt afterwards. It appears as a gift to Pete Campbell when he does the C-Core laxative thing. And I think that there is Don Draper orders it. Actually, Roy, the beatnik, orders it in the club.
Can we get around over here?
Jack Daniels, Dutchess?
Sounds like a great idea.
To me, it was like so easy,
Given that this is a show about an advertising agency, you have sort of this sort of savvy approach to dealing with these products, why not make some money? I mean, why not integrate them and take them for all they're worth? I mean, couldn't you?
Oh, I'm completely interested in that. And I had a list of products that were, it all has to do with the amount of eyeballs we have watching our show. I would love to have the entire show supported by an AMC deficited by an independent company. I would love
– Explain that in English for a second.
In English, I would like to see it done the way it was done. I would love to see Texaco presents Mad Men or American Express Platinum presents Mad Men. And what that does is it allows me to show it commercial-free. It allows me to associate my product with a brand that I think is great. Don could use an American Express card all through it and fill up with Texaco. It
like
could
the
be
Schlitz – Playhouse of Stars.
It's great. I mean, I don't want another creative voice, and AMC is not – no one has interfered in the content of the show.
No.
But I would love to have in terms of making money, if people want to put their products in the show, it's fantastic for me. It means nothing to me because I'm going to put it in there anyway. There's a texture to the show. But the truth is we said this with Del Jolie. I said, okay, if you don't want to put – if Revlon or someone, Estee Lauder, one of these people does not want to be involved because it's too early in the process and they don't know who we have that's watching, that's fine. But I'm going to use something. And whatever it is, 1 million people a week are going to hear us talking about Belle Jolie the entire show and how many lipsticks they have and how many colors they have. And they're going to associate it with this period and these characters and Peggy and Freddie Rumsen. And to me, hopefully in the future that there will be a different aspect to it. But I have no – it might be a very, very dangerous road that I'm traveling. But in terms of my relationship, the way it worked with Jack Daniels, it was easy other than, people sort of being snarky about it. Oh, look at that product in there. I'm like, what do you think? AMC is free. You should enjoy that. It's coming into your home. It's not $50 a month. Enjoy it. I mean it. I mean, it's –
I want to talk about Vice for a second.
Sure.
And the amount of smoking that goes on in this show. The dogs smoke. The fish smoke.
People measured their smoking in packs of cigarettes until 1980. Okay? That's when it started to be looked at that maybe you weren't that cool or healthy for smoking.
Could you integrate Philip Morris? I mean, morality aside, I recognize they're not by law allowed to advertise anymore.
It is illegal.
Totally
for
illegal.
For them, absolutely illegal. It was part of their settlement, their billion-dollar settlement mm-hmm. for poisoning America and lying about the fact that cigarettes were dangerous. They admitted this finally in the 80s. There was a lawsuit. Part of their agreement was that they were not allowed to be on television and that they would actively create a fund to keep people from promoting it on television.
So placement would fall into the category of advertising.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, I will assure you that the biggest fear about all of the smoking on the show is that there would be, if nothing else, a strong letter from the tobacco company saying that make sure that this is not an endorsement of our product because we are not allowed to have it endorsed on TV.
The second season is upon us now. What is going to change with respect to the show and its relationship to brands? Are we going to see more brands? Have other brands approached you and said, we want to be?
I've been approached by one brand so far. The problem with it is advertising companies move much slower than television companies. And the momentum required to get a big company like Ford or to get Cadillac. Don may buy a Cadillac. I don't think it'll be with the participation of Cadillac. They cannot get it together. They are conservative. The product that they're selling now really, unfortunately, on some level, does not have a relationship to the product that they used to sell. I think it's still, to me, the most prestigious brand that there is and still means the most to people. It still means success. It still means achievement. It still means everything. And it's expensive. But to get the wheels rolling on a corporation and their advertising agency, and it just seems to be an incredible time lag. The great thing is that we put out a lot of feelers last year to companies, and there are storylines that I have that I would run past an advertising agency and say, would your product be interested in doing this? This is really what the story is. For whatever reason or other, I was interested in doing a story about Old Spice. And in the end, I don't think the story defeated them. I think just nobody got it together and said, I don't want to pay for that or I don't want to sponsor. And by the way, as an executive producer of the show, I never know what those things are financially. I do participate in them and the show participates in them, but I'm not involved in them. So I think as we get closer to, I need the lead time of knowing what the story is because the scripts are done long before the show is shot. And they need the lead time of working through their massive corporate structures and ridiculous backlog of paperwork and counterchecking at these ad agencies. And so when you pull a trigger on a campaign for Old Spice, there's been years in developing it. There's been years in thinking about what the brand is. And for them to come along and participate in my take on it at that period, that's, it just doesn't move fast enough. I'm hoping that there'll be a lot more of that because I have I love to use real products. It's a real time travel thing and it really says something also about either how differently we perceive this thing or how similar it is.
Well, Matt Weiner, thank you for coming in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. This is a great, great conversation.
Matt Weiner is the creator and executive producer of AMC's original production, Mad Men. He joined us in our studio in Santa Monica. And that's The Business. Matt Holzman produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. Our associate producer is Darby Maloney. You can listen to this or any past program online anytime at kcrw.com/thebusiness. You can also podcast the show on KCRW's site or through iTunes. Our email address is thebusiness@kcrw.org. The Business is produced by KCRW Santa Monica and distributed by National Public Radio. I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner. We'll see you next week on The Business.
I'll take Bromo for fast relief.
You'll do what?
I'll take Bromo for fast relief.
KCRW sponsors include Searchlight Pictures, presenting the new movie, The Greatest Hits. Music takes us places. What if it could literally take you back in time? The Greatest Hits is a hypnotic journey through the connection between love, music, and memory. Now streaming on Hulu.